Thank you, Master. Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, everyone say the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So he ended and he rested. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God has created and made. So we understand that the number seven is a meaning of complete or perfect. Amen. It's also associated with rested, because we rest on the seventh day. Seven is complete and perfect. And there is a complete timing of God of everything. So if you think about this, we know that there's a seven-year tribulation. It's broken in half. There's 7 days in a week. All kinds of seven times 70 says repent, which is 49, which then becomes jubilee. Seven is a prophetic number that is meaning of a completion, perfection, and extension. Now, number eight is the extension. So seven is a perfect completion of something, but eight is the extension and continuing of it. So in creation, or what we call restoration, which God restored, from creation itself to Moses is 4,000 years. From Moses to Jesus' resurrection is 2,000 years. And then we have 1,000 years of reign, which is 7,000 years. So Moses, from creation to Moses, was the period of the Jews. From Moses to Jesus was a period of the Gentiles. And from the millennium, the next 1,000 generations, is the born of the Spirit. Glorified bodies is a Christian period of time which reigns. No other religion will reign, no other faith will reign, and no other king will reign but King Jesus. In Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, it says, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters resided individually or continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the what? Seventh month on the what? 17th day of the month. And the tops of the mountains were what? Seen. We see here that the ark rested on the seventh month and the 17th day. And things became more clearer, because the completion and the perfect was established. And in this, something new was beginning to happen. Why? Because they were able to see the tops of the what? The mountains. In other words, new vision was restored. Those in Noah's ark were able to see things differently. They not only feared God, but reverenced him, and were grateful to see the land, even though it was the top of the mountains. But they were looking diligently for days, waiting to hit land. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, why? Because 8 is a representation of the continuation of the new beginning and completion. the perfect new beginning of completion. Something's got to come to an end before it can start a new beginning. First Pete chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Let's speak it. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited for the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is what? Eight souls were saved through what? Water. Somebody get it? Eight souls, which is a representation of what? The extension of the completion and perfect will of God in a new beginning. There's also an antitype which now saves us baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made perfect to him. Eight souls, new beginning. Ezekiel 43, verse 26. Says 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it, and so consecrate it. When these 7 days are over, it shall be on the eighth day, and thereafter, that the priest shall offer your burnt offerings and your peace offerings on the altar, and I will accept you, says the Lord. So we see that the seventh and the eighth day were vitally important to God. Seven is the area of complete and perfect, and eight is the extension of completion and perfect in the process of it. Luke 1:59. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father that what he would have him be called. And he asked for the writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then the fear came on all who dwelt around them. And these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill of country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the name of the Lord was with him. Who the hand of the Lord was with him. Okay, so we've got Luke 1. Amen. John, the eighth day, was circumcised. In other words, there's a circumcision meaning a new covenant or a new beginning for a life. And the offer, that was their offerings, and they sacrificed in offerings to the Lord. Jesus was also circumcised on the eighth day because it was a part of covenant. Now, remember, eight is a representation of the extension of a new beginning and perfect process that God is doing. So, right after this past resurrection day on April 20th, 25, the Pope dies at 88 years old. Klaus Schwab, who was the World Economic Forum founder, steps down at the age of 88. This is the beginning of the dismantle of the seven hills. What were the seven hills? They were the seven hills or the mountains of the Babylonian or Antichrist, deep state globally controlling humanity. to all of its organizations, banking, pharmaceutical, education, political, and so forth. But we just see the two were just dismantled. False religions. The Vatican is going to be exposed tremendously. And the economic form, in other words, the economy is going to be dismantled also. Why? Things are going to be turned over to God. Now, of course, the enemy is going to try to bring everything into one world order. But that isn't time yet. We're not going to world war. We're not going to anything. God is going to magnify, glorify the body of Christ first and bless them tremendously as a witness to the world. Because he's the head who's overseeing his own body. But we're going to watch a dismantlement of the seven hills, what we call the seven mountains that have been controlling humanity by the powers of darkness. And Revelation 17. So this is a tremendous time. That's why the title is called It's Time. It's time to what? Stay awake. Watch what's going on. It's happening right before your eyes, right before your ears. This is no coincidence. You're about to get blessed tremendously, but you got to hang on. You got to stay in position. Stay out of God's way. In Revelation 17, starting at verse 1. Then one of the what? Seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, what is the... See, when we hear the word fornication, we always think about sexual fornication. But there's fornication that is worship of false prophets, false gods, false religions, false deities. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the fullness of her fornications. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. So they will be deceived tremendously. Now, what is the beast, this harlot? Well, it's arrayed with all kinds of gold and purple, portraying to be godly-like. It is Catholicism. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven what? Mountains. These are the controlling of the Antichrist that controls the seven major operations of life, on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth. Of course, he's going to be bringing a new beginning of evil, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are what? Called, chosen, and faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. And what is this great city? Rome. Hello? Think about this. What about Catholicism? What is this great city? The Vatican City. It's connected to Rome, isn't it? The Vatican is the greatest money laundering operation in the world. They are one of the corrupt, most corrupt organizations in the world. Why? Look at how many people they've deceived, and they brought curses on them, praying to the dead, causing necromancy. People being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Using a rosary as an accursed item, not even knowing it. Look at this. This is not about condemning Catholicism and people, because God knows the heart of an individual, no matter what organization you're involved in. Amen. But this is what he's saying. Come out of these organizations. You know, think about the Pope. He tried to imitate God. They kissed his hand, basically kissed his feet. Think about this. And he became a middleman between humanity and God. That's an abomination in itself. And what does the Bible say? Call no man father. No, they're in their area of worship. There's only one father, and that's God the Father for me and you. Yes, we have physical fathers that we call father, but that's not the abomination. It's when somebody calls a priest father. He's not a father. I mean, think about this. They wear Gothic. The nuns wear Gothic. They worship idols. And they bring many people into deception. I never even knew what a Christian was. I was born Catholic, so I didn't know. Never knew the power of God. They went through the rituals and so forth, first communion, second communion, third communion, whatever it was. I don't know. Confirmation and all these other religions. Walk around a church and do. You go to repent, you go into a priest thing, hello, Father. My name is such and such. So you just expose yourself. No. I've sinned. I'm a sinner, this, that, whatever. Okay, go pray to Mary. Do 25 push-ups and put $50 in the offering. You're good. You know, they preach death, hell, and the grave like they've been there, you know. But some of them came from there, I think. Especially some of these nuns that I had for teachers. Whew. some of them acted like they lived there. After they did class, they went there. And they definitely approve. I mean, I went to a church and a school that had a full bar on the campus and a gymnasium above it. So the kids went upstairs, played sports, and the parents went downstairs and got smashed. I used to come home for lunch, and there was a nun there with my ex-mother-in-law partying. They were Manhattaning it out, let me tell you. And to me, it was so hypocritical. I used to be an altar boy. Boy, what a joke that was. I used to dip the host in the wine and eat it, you know. And the priests would sit back there smoking cigarettes and drinking wine before they went out and did what they called high mass. I guess they had to get high before they went out there. It was high, all right. But anyways, this is how it was. It was false religion. And, I mean, you felt, I mean, I knew the Ten Commandments. Believe me, I knew the Ten Commandments. Every time I did something, thou shalt not do this. But I had no power to say no. I would say, thou shalt, why not? Jeremiah 7, verse 12. Here's the Lord speaking to Jeremiah. He says, But go now to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because you have done all these things, says the Lord, and I spoke to you rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear, and I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore I will do to the house of which is called by my name, and which you trust, and to this place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, whose prosperity of Ephraim. Therefore do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the queen of who? Heaven. Hello. And they pour out drink offering to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Therefore, thus says the Lord, go. Behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on man, on beasts, and on trees, and on fields, and on fruit of the ground. And it will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. And since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. Now, who is he speaking about? Again, who is the queen? They worship Mary. The queen of heaven, also known as the harlot of the beast. Now, it's not Mary that's the harlot. Hello? But they have, now there are like Nimrods. They used to worship Nimrod's mother. She was known as the queen. I mean, you know, when you really go back and understand all of these things and what's going on, and then the enemy always tries to take what is good to turn it to evil and contaminate it. In Revelation 18, starting at verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. And her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Wow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Again, come out from all these false religions. You know, when you, and I'm, again, I'm not condemning Catholicism or anything, but you'll know them by their fruits. I mean, look at how many children have been abused by priests and nuns and so forth. Globally, it's incredible. And they proclaim they're supposed to be sanctified and with no sex and so forth, you know. But they live in the same building with a nun, you know. So temptation is continuously. Proverbs 13, verse 21. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And don't forget, thank you, Jesus. Psalms 37. That was third of verse 7. I like this one. Let's speak it. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be what? Cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall not be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in abundance. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be what? Broken. Awesome. This is a promise from God. We are beginning to see this. It's time. It's begun. Yoo-hoo. And we're a part of it. We're here. Proverbs 3:31. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. What's a fool? One that doesn't believe in God, or one that doesn't follow Jesus. You know, think about all these religions that are, I mean, I just heard about a bunch of Christians being beheaded from an Islamic organization. So they actually believe they're killing for God. To behead children, to choke babies, to molest women. That's evil. That ain't no God. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Our God comes to bring life and life abundantly. And we have peace, joy, and righteousness. Those people that they've killed are going home. But they're going to hell, those who are the murderers. But they have a false belief system, a false perception. And they were brought up that way. But God is merciful. I don't know how he does it or what he's going to do, how he does it. He's visited many people for the word to be spread. The visitation he brought to me has spread his word, has spread his love, has spread his truth. Through this house, God has touched many people through our websites, through our programs, through our booklets. We don't even know how many. And then how many people touched many people there. We went to a restaurant today, and somebody that graduated from years ago who fought cancer works at this restaurant. And she was telling us today, giving a little bit of testimony about what God did for her here. It's not about a place. It's about the presence of God. So we're looking for the place that brings the presence of God so we can change. It's not about a program. It's about the presence of God. So we can get deprogrammed from the world and be reconnected to the love of God. Because, see, these people that murder, kill, they don't carry the love of God. They carry hatred. All these people that are burning buildings and that are attacking Elon Musk and attacking Donald Trump, they're voters and promoters of hatred and evil. They are servants of Satan and don't even know it. Why? Because they come to steal, kill, and destroy. They didn't come in peace, joy, and righteousness, that's for sure. But we're watching it. It's time. It's all being exposed. And we got a front row seat to see this. It's on the news every single day. But not the lying news. They still lying. Even on YouTube and stuff like that. And man, there's still people. I mean, you can watch lies every day. If you see something come up and it says a news company that you know, but they got somebody else speaking it, it's a lie. James 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Oh, yeah. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And I'm going to close in Isaiah 60, because it's time. Let's speak it. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your son shall come from afar. Your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Remember, two things have begun in the area of dismantlement: false religions and false currency. Things are changing now. It's already begun. It's time. Stay awake and be ready. Amen. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your mercies and grace and faithfulness. Seal this word tonight with remembrance so that we won't miss what you're telling us and getting ready to do and how to do it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.